You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and you want more people on your email list, or maybe you have your six-figure business and you want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goods here, people, and all I need from you is to take action. So, I recently went to Podcast Movement, actually this past weekend, which was in Fort Worth, and I can't begin to tell you, it was the most amazing experience I've ever had. It completely felt like home to me. I met with so many like-minded entrepreneurs and just incredible people. The whole community is so giving and so amazing. I will be recording a special episode right after this to talk about some of my biggest takeaways. And I'm actually going to split it. I'm going to talk about biggest takeaways for podcasters and biggest takeaways for business owners. I think a lot of you all are business owners and definitely there's a ton that I learned that you guys certainly can use in your businesses. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, which in the next episode. But today I want to introduce you all to the amazing Rachel Olson. Rachel is the founder of Best Mom Products, a digital media consulting firm where mom entrepreneurs learn how to get the media buzz they deserve, so that they can generate more sales, don't we all want that, and have the family lifestyle they crave. She is also the number one Amazon best-selling author of Shark Tank Mompreneurs, Take a Bite of Publicity, which Barbara Corcoran on The Lady on Shark Tank, which she called it a must-read, so make sure you go out and get it. And she's also jumped into the app world now. She owns a company called Get Appler. It's quite interesting because how many times do we ask our friends about the kind of apps that are working for them? And basically what this app does is it gives you recommendations of apps that your friends use. So I thought that was really cool, especially for our moms in general, right? Because we're always trying to find out, oh, hey, my child is such and such age. And what apps is he playing on, or what games is he playing on? I think it's really neat. So it's called getappler.com, and all the links are going to be in the show notes, so you can go get that. But she's an amazing mompreneur, and Rachel and I talk a lot about PR tips, but something that we weren't planning to talk about, but we kind of went deep into, is the whole process of pivoting in your business. Do you ever sit back and think, if something is working in your business, you know, and if it's not, do you pivot? And also, what are the effects of it? So we really get into that today. Also, I have a special download for you. It is the ultimate guide to repurposing your content. Rachel and I talk about repurposing your content, and I thought it would be beneficial to you if I made a guide for you with all of the resources and ways to repurpose your content. So you can get it for free by texting the word BOLD, B-O-L-D, to the number 38470. So text the word BOLD, B-O-L-D, to the number 38470. Or if you go on the show notes at www.womenpreneursuccess.com/Rachel, there'll be a link there for you, and you can just go ahead and click on it. It's completely free, and I have spent a lot of time trying to make an exhaustive resource guide for you. So make sure you get it. So again, text at 38470, that's the number, and text the word BOLD, B-O-L-D, and I'll go ahead and send it to you. So let's get into it today with Rachel Olson.
Hi, Rachel. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Smita. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you on. You are a mompreneur and you're doing so many amazing things. I need to like go back in the past and start from the beginning first. So tell me, you know, before we go into your journey, I want to know, what was your first ever job?
You know, it's so funny because I guess you could say my first job was entrepreneurial, and I was selling bookmarks in third grade. And so my family had just moved from New York to Arizona, and I met my first neighborhood friend, Molly, and she was really good at coloring. And we started reading in third grade a lot more than we had been in second. And I, you know, everybody was using their bookmarks, and I said, let's start a bookmark company. And so it was kind of funny, and we sold them for 25 cents a piece. She did all the designing and making it, and I went around to our classmates and sold them.
So you're like a marketer from you have it in your genes then.
I do. It's in family genes too. But I thought that was so funny looking back and trying to really think about that first ever job, you know. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's nice. You know, I'd be like, I probably don't even remember what I did in third grade. So the fact that you've done it and you were so enterprising at that time is pretty neat.
Oh my gosh, thanks. You know what? I think they say like you remember, like we moved that year, so it was such a pivotal point. So I actually barely remember anything before third grade, but that year I remember, which it's so interesting how that works.
Right, right. Thanks. It's that one, you know, important aspect in your life that really sticks, right?
Right, right.
Interesting. Awesome. So tell me so you started in third grade, and tell me when you got out of college and you had your first job, how did you decide to start a digital marketing firm?
Yeah, you know, I have a few different jobs. I mean, I worked in the corporate world. I moved to San Francisco and did that during the dot-com boom. I didn't even have a job. I just was like, I'm going to figure it out. There's so much opportunity there. And so for me, that was a really exciting time. So I got to try out different things. And you know, leading me to eventually, you know, after I was in the corporate world, I worked for Oracle. I managed their speakers bureau, their CEO. I was his handler, and then moved on to going out on my own and having a marketing and event planning company up there. And doing, you know, my whole background is like PR and marketing. So I decided to, it's been about 20 years in the making that I've always done this consulting, whether it was for, you know, on the side or in a corporate role or for entrepreneurs. So, or executives. So, you know, I realized I had this unique skill set of perspective of both this, you know, corporate high tech environment, and then also being an entrepreneur and figuring the online marketing world out through the use of content. So, after I had my first daughter, I became very interested in the mom world, mom products, all of those things. And I wanted to learn more about bringing a product to market. And so I started a podcast. In 2011, I started interviewing mom entrepreneurs. Mostly about manufacturing and marketing. And so I went through that process.
You were pretty much one of the pioneers of podcasting.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. I would say I was definitely probably one of the first women in podcasting.
Right.
Because I mean, I think it was, you know, I learned about all the podcasts. My husband is, you know, in tech, and we, at the time we lived in San Francisco, and we drive down to Orange County where his family was for family trips. And we would literally, the kids would be in the back sleeping, and we'd have our headsets in, and we'd both be listening to Andrew Warner's Mixergy podcast.
Yeah.
And so I think I must have listened, and I took his like how to interview course back in the day,
right.
and used his transcription service, and you know, and I think it was very eye opening for me because he was a great interviewer and he had very interesting guests. And so I discovered a lot of people from that and how they were doing it. And I'm such a person who learns from real story experiences, rather than reading about it in a book necessarily. So it was a great medium for me. And I thought, oh my God, nobody's doing this for women. And then I realized in 2011, nobody was doing it for women because women weren't listening to podcasts as much.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And so I feel like, you know, so I was frustrated. It's so interesting to look at everyone's journey, but I got very frustrated because I spent, I'd say 2 to 3 years on and off podcasting, and I would like go back, I'd get on iTunes New and Noteworthy, I'd get excited. And it's really like, it was really a labor of love for me, because then I was trying to understand, like, how is this system working? And ultimately, I listened to someone else's podcast and realized, okay, I need to be realistic here. Podcasting, in the, just for podcasting's sake and not really selling anything else on the side, is not working for me. And I need to, and I was consulting on the side, but I really wanted to make this work. So I started thinking, what other content? So somebody said, like, you know, if one form of content isn't working, put it in a different format. So that's how I decided to write my book, because I had realized over the years, I had interviewed 5 or 6 women that had gone on Shark Tank. I had interviewed some of them before they went, some after, but I kept in touch with them. And when I realized, you know, this, I was looking for my, my media background went off, like, what's trending in the media? What would be interesting to people? And Shark Tank was just taking off. And so I kind of looked at that and looked at, like, these women that I interviewed. And the number one question in PR that I would always get was, you know, somebody would come to me for consulting and be like, okay, well, you know, I don't need a lot. I just need, I just want you to get me on the Today Show. Or, you know, everyone thinks that there's this, like, one big win, and, like, yes, everybody wants that same spot.
Right.
There are thousands of PR firms with thousands of clients. They all want that spot. But, like, you know, I keep saying, like, what do you think it's going to do for your business? You know, because I feel like that's, you know, it depends. Like, if you're, if you know something about PR, you kind of get that it's something you have to do long term. There aren't really quick wins. And so I thought, like, instead of me coming off as this naysayer to everyone, like, okay, that's not realistic, or, you know, nobody wants to hear that. And they're not, you know, everybody wants to believe the dream, and the dream is possible, but it might and then not happen.
Right. And then everybody wants that instant gratification.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, wait, I want to send an email and be on the Today Show or do this. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's not overnight. There's no such thing as overnight success. So I felt like I started getting those, like, you know, I'm a realist, and you know, and it's different to who you talk to. Like, is that negative, or, you know, but I feel like when you have experience and you see how things work. And so by me sharing that, so I decided, like, I'd write a book and kind of show it in a fun way. Like, here's 5 women. They all landed deals. They got investors. They, 8 million people saw their product over and over again. They were re-aired, you know, but none of them say this was the best thing they ever did for their business. But, like, nobody's going to come out and say, like, they're not a friend of the show, because I shouldn't say nobody. I've learned through this whole process that, you know, if you're smart, you're not going to come out and say, like, I had a terrible experience, because they'll never be on your episode. And so, you know, so there's a lot going on behind the scenes. So, you know, I just, so, you know, I changed, like, podcasting was, like, phenomenal for the relationships I built and the information, and it was, you know, fun. But then it became, like, I need to figure out a way here to monetize or to show this in a different way. And so it was very hard for me to let go of that podcasting. But once I focused on the book and that kind of took off, it was like, okay, like, I got Barbara Corcoran to endorse it, which is funny when you said, like, you just send a letter to the Today Show. It's like, you know what? I did just send a letter to Barbara.
Right. But, and she did?
Yeah, she endorsed it. But, you know, it's
nice.
Yeah, but, you know, it really, it was a very strategic letter. You know, she had her Tiffany Crummins is featured in my book, and their interviews of these 5 inventors. And Tiffany Crummins was the first woman, mompreneur to land a deal that Barbara invested in the first season of the show. And I didn't know this at the time when I emailed Barbara, but 6 months later, after my book came out, or like 3 months, I saw Barbara and Tiffany on Dr. Oz, and they were making the rounds in all the shows because they were rebranding from Ava the Elephant, the medical dispenser, to something, to the new brand name called Metamols, which is a whole line of animals that dispenses medicine. So, you know, you just don't ever know what's going on in somebody else's world. And, like, you know, there was lots of things that I said, and I'm not sure, you know, which one of the 6 or 7 bullet points I made that said made her say yes. But, but, you know, it was, you know, it was a letter I took a long time to write. It wasn't hey, I'm writing this book. So
Right. That's interesting. I love that. You know, let me ask you this. So you've had a PR and marketing background for the longest time. Do you ever get scared, like, to go out and talk? Maybe, you know, you go to a meetup or you go somewhere and you're like, oh my gosh, what do I say? Or are you like, oh yeah, I got this?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually one of those people who have always been very social. Like, this is a perfect fit for me. Like, I enjoy going someplace and socializing, to me, that feels mm-hmm. like fun. And like, I always love hearing what people's stories are. And like, this is funny that you say that, because this afternoon I have this Public Relations Society of America mixer for 3 hours. And I'm like, just so excited. I'm like, oh, I'm getting out.
Nice.
But you know, I've been young kids, so I don't do as many in-person things as I did prior to having kids. And that was actually one of the reasons why I started interviewing people through a podcast, because I just missed that social aspect. But I just, you know, I had little babies and I didn't want to be like running around. So I feel like it's something that's kind of been a natural skill set. I enjoy it.
Awesome. And it's great that you had the thing to just say, okay, if this is not working, I'm going to pivot my business, you know, because I think that's where a lot of people tend to get stuck, because they feel like, okay, this is not working. So either they'll give up or they will just keep at it. And they're like, okay, this is just not working. But I think the fact that you had that sense to say, you know what, this is not working, so I'm just going to go ahead and find something that works. So how do you think that pivoting your business at that time, did it, you know, was it a major shift? And did you see, what kind of changes did you see?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question, because I feel like that's something that I and every entrepreneur I talk to struggle with. And, you know, I would love to say, like, you know, from the outside, like, oh, I just decided to stop my podcast. Like, I stopped my podcast after a year, regrouped, and then like went back and did it again, you know, because I was like, you know, for me, my frustrations were more around the back end and editing and technical, and, you know, and it's people don't realize how much goes into editing and, you know, and I would do like, I know you were like, I do my own editing. I'm like, oh my God, how do you do it? And I have, but I have a huge respect for that. And, so it was never an easy decision. It was a decision that came out of, and it's interesting that you say this, because I'm going through this again in my business, but when something is in, when the frustration is in your head longer than, how do I say this or figure it out? When you're thinking about something so much and not coming up with a solution for it, and it's taking up way too much space in your head, there just comes a point where you have to let it go. And I would love to say, like, okay, so I stopped the podcast and I was so thrilled the book took off and it's been this incredible like whirlwind of a year and very interesting year, because I did my own PR to like test out what it's like to pitch yourself. It's very different than pitching somebody else. And, you know, just through that process, you know, right now podcasting is taking off. And so I'm just, I sit here, you know, I went to Podcast San Diego for fun to like support a few friends that were speaking there. And I just was like, oh, I wish I was doing this again, you know, and, but it's very time consuming. It really has to be. And so I feel like, oh, was I in the wrong place at the wrong time? You know, not that I couldn't do a podcast again, but at the same time, I, you know, it's one of those things I think, oh gosh, if I had just kept going, where would I be today? You know, and, so, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say like it's a regret. I feel like things have worked out, but at the same time, there's pros and cons to every pivot you make in your business. You know, like when I see like women like you or like Natalie from the Biz Chicks, or, you know, and I'm listening to your podcasts and I'm like, these women are great. They're doing such a good job. And, you know, I have that like, oh my God, they're having fun. And, you know, and, so, you know, it's like twofold. So I feel like, you know, the book, so, you know, it was good for me. So that's kind of how all the digital marketing, you know, started. I'm a big believer, like when something isn't working, it, like, and also I find like from just being in it and analyzing the online marketing and media world compared to traditional public relations and media, like, you know, not just like the misconception, like one thing's going to change their, you know, business overnight, but kind of taking that traditional public relations world and bringing it online. You know, it's like if you're in Vogue, like that's great, or parenting or whatever your dream publication is, Fast Company or what have it. Then how do you bring that online and like let people know about that besides just like a social media, like, hey, check out my article in Forbes. Like, what are, you know, what are creative ways like you can do that? And you can continue to use that one piece of content in so many ways and over again, where you're not just saying the same thing and like yelling.
Can we talk about that really quick then? Can you give us maybe some really quick tips before we move on? You know, maybe like an example or a creative way?
Sure. So, you know, one tip that I usually just give people is as soon as you start to get some traction, even online, is to go ahead and put in like one of those you know, logo collages you could even create yourself on your website that says featured in. So like if you have a retail product and you were in Nordstrom's or you got your line into Nordstrom's or what have you, you can put that there. You can put that logo there and say featured in. And what that does for other people, customers coming to your website who may not have heard about you, maybe they read about you in a blog post and they just clicked on to see because they saw a picture of your product and thought it was cute or what have you. And and then they go there and then they, you know, it's not just conscious, it's also subconscious. It's when they see brands that they trust, they have a trust, they start to establish a trust in you and your product. So that's one way to kind of transfer like public relations to, you know, the sales funnel.
Like social proof.
Right, right. And credibility. One way, if, you know, you have a feature in a publication, you can go ahead and take out, like if it's a story, there'll be picture shots. Instagram is so great for photo and images. And,
you know,
you can talk about that in there very easily, but, you know, you can take that through. It's, you know, Chris Brogan talks a lot about food truck method where it's, you know, you take what you have and then you go around like a food truck and deliver it to all these different places. So, you know, like you could create a blog post on your website. What was the behind the scenes? How did you get into Better Homes and Garden? Like, oh, I had written 10 pitch emails and this is the one that worked. And here's what I said. Here's how long it took. So then you can kind of push that out as like a, hey, here's how I got this. And people are interested in that perspective.
I love that. You know, and that's one thing that I've learned recently is repurposing content. Because, you know, a lot of times people think that, yes, you know, we all know content is king, of course. You know, you have to have quality content. You have to create content, which is pertaining to what you're doing. But I think a lot of people tend to forget that the one piece of content that you're creating can go into different mediums or different channels based on whatever is, you know, the native form of that channel. And, you know, you don't have to create like 10 different pieces for Twitter or 10 different pieces for Pinterest or 10 different pieces for Instagram, you know, and that's really a process that I've learned and I'm really working. So, you know, so I'll create a blog post or I'll write something on my Evernote and then I'll take out and I'll do, okay, we can use these for tweets, right? And then maybe we could do this for, put a picture in there for Instagram and then link it or, you know, put your little, there's no linking, but, you know, you can put your website, address underneath there. You know, so there's so much, like you said, you could do for repurposing your content and you never know who'll pick it up.
Right.
Right. I mean, maybe something that people, you know, somebody at a reporter has not gone into Instagram, but they're reading a tweet. Maybe they'll pick it up that way. So you never know.
Right. I agree. And I think that the one thing is it's interesting because you're either in the mindset of like where you have to constantly repurpose new content and get it out there. But then, or create new content or repurpose content, but repurposing content, like you said, and the steps that you're going through, you know, it's like I have, people submit their interviews to my site, Best Mom Products, to be featured. And it's the amount of work that just goes into that. They do most of the work through the, you know, the written interview format, but then, you know, going into Canva and creating a brand, a picture that's consistent with Best Mom Products brand and pulling in all that information. So it's like making the graphics, managing that whole social media and content distribution channel is a huge job too. So it's interesting, but that's the marketing piece. And so it's a shame, like if you put all this effort into creating an incredible piece of content, and you can repurpose it even months later. And I think that that's what, where people feel like, and you feel like when you're creating content and pushing it out to your customers or social media or reporters, you feel like, you feel like everyone's seen it. But the reality is, you know, a tweet lasts, you know, 10 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all of those things. And so to feel like, you know, I used to feel like, oh, I'm just pushing this on. I'm promoting it again. Like when it's yourself, it feels very different, you know? And the reality is not everyone sees it and they'll see it at different times. So yeah, it's, and I, you know, it also suggests like if you're a part of private Facebook communities or private communities asking the moderator, like, you know, I have an interesting, you know, piece that I'd like to share with people. Or sometimes they say like promote your latest and greatest, you know, I feel like those communities are just growing in trust and credibility. And I find like not only myself, but other people meeting, you know, you're able to have a conversation in those communities where you're not going to necessarily see them on a Facebook page or engage with them in the same way you would when, you know, in something more private. So anyway, that's my spiel. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's a really important aspect that you just brought out was Facebook groups. I think it's the way they're growing is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've seen Facebook groups literally, like, I've liked something and I've seen it grow from 200 to 1,000 in a week. I'm like, whoa, wait, what just happened here? You know?
Right.
And, it's amazing. I think that's one thing that every person that's online needs to have a Facebook. I would say a group. That's what I personally prefer, mm-hmm. to at least build your own brand.
Right.
That really will make you stand out.
Very true. I agree.
Nice. Awesome. So let's talk about today. And you're pivoting now into another amazing world out there. So tell me about your new venture. Tell me about APP?
Get Appler.
Appler.
Yep.
Okay.
Get Appler, APPLR.com. Yep. Even if they went to Apple with an R at the end .com, it would redirect. So
nice.
So it's so interesting. So, for my husband's always looking at opportunities in the tech world, and he's in a mergers and acquisitions world. So he sees, he's been in what's trending and all of that. And we have very opposite skill sets. So about a year ago, he was looking to find a buyer for a technology, which is Get Appler. And a year went by and the guy wasn't sure if he wanted to sell it, and back and forth. And finally, my husband said, you know what? I really think we should buy this. I think mm-hmm. that I can do, with his skill set, he can do certain things. We'll hire a developer to get other aspects that would be good, features and things that need to be fixed on it. So it just went through. So we are the official owners of GetAppler.com.
And, nice.
Yes. And so it's interesting. So I feel like I'm going to be putting, I'm still, consulting. Mm-hmm. I do have a handful of clients and I'll continue to do that. But, my focus over the next few months is really, putting all of those skills that I provide towards something that we're going to do and see if we can get that grow. So really what it is, it's an app discovery tool and a social network. And so I'm looking at the different target markets right now of, where do we want to start and go after first? What makes the most sense? So, we have some assumptions we've made from a business perspective. If we can do X, Y, and Z, we think that there'll be massive growth. And then, that would be fantastic. So I'm going to start working on those things, which is really exciting to me because I feel like I generate so many ideas. So, and my husband's good at saying okay, here are your 15 ideas. Let's bring it down to we talk through each one. And then it's these are the three that make the most sense. So it's I'm excited to be working with him and also to be seeing, is this something that we can really make work and grow? So I feel like I'm taking really, I would say doing consulting work is one thing. It's a service. And it has its ebbs and flows. I either am really busy or kind of slow, or I can, take some time off in the summer to be with my kids or, make those decisions. So it's really interesting to be embarking on a journey where, I love connecting people. This is a product that connects people. This is a problem that both I have had and my husband has had, and it solves that problem. Who else does this solve this problem for? So there's so many fun and exciting things to try to figure out. I would say it's a big change, but I feel like it's really more of an exciting change. From a marketing perspective, it kind of started my husband and his brother would call and say hey, what apps do you have? And they'd have this hour long conversation about what apps they have. And I'm like, this is so silly. Why, in this day of technology, and there are other app discovery tools out there. But it's you really want to know what your friends are using, not just who's rated, the highest mm-hmm. in the app store. And so what this does is you log on right now with your iTunes password and username, and it automatically shows up all the apps you've ever downloaded, and then you can rate and review them, and you can actually integrate it with it integrates with Twitter and Facebook, and so you could see if your friends are on it, what apps they're using. So it's more that you really want to know what your friends think, rather than just you don't know in the app store, is it a you know, 70-year-old man or a 12-year-old boy that likes this game. Like, is this going to, and then I was having the same challenge with my really good friend. We, when we were like looking up kid games, you know, I'm like, well, what's educational? Like, how many times does it pop up for an in-app purchase, you know,
or, right, exactly.
You know, like what, you know, so we'd be having all these conversations. So I feel like this just makes it simple and efficient. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to take away from those conversations necessarily, but like if you log in and you see that, you know, 100 of your friends, you know, all use Evernote, maybe mm-hmm. like, oh, what do you think about Evernote? You know, and right. you can write it all there, and app developers can actually communicate directly with you through that as well. So where they don't have that two-way communication otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think there's like a lot, you know, awesome. Yeah, so sorry, I totally rambled on if you want to.
No. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And lots and lots of good wishes from all of us, because I'm pretty sure this is going to be big. So really, we are looking forward to hearing more. And what I'm really interested in right now is, tell us, you know, maybe, and I know this conversation can probably go on forever and ever, but maybe like a couple of quick ways that you're using your experience, all of the, like you said, all the ideas that you have given other people. What are you immediately attracted to use to for your business?
Yeah, I think just I understand how media works, and mm-hmm. I know where, you know, what can deem results. And so for me, I'm taking my time and putting together a very strategic plan on who I'm going to approach first with when we, you know, it's in beta right now. And so when we do an official launch, I'm just creating my launch plan and laying all those seeds and building those relationships. And, you know, I want to hit everything hard within like a, you know, 2 to 4 week period when we launch and get that buzz around it, because it's really about people seeing and hearing you all at the same time. And so I'm excited, you know, we'll probably launch in the fall, depends on like the developer and how all that goes on the back end. Mm-hmm. So you never know, but, you know, it's, I mean, you can use it now, the product, but you know, to right. do an official, like a real launch.
Right.
And so I'm just looking at outlets and trying to build those relationships. So that's where
nice.
I'm spending, where I'm going to spend my time, as well as, you know, the different target markets.
Wonderful. You know, from my interviews with a lot of startups, I've learned one tip, which if you don't mind, I will share with you, is that especially if you're in beta and you're ready to launch, seed it with as much information and as many users as you can before you launch
right,
it.
Right.
You know, that's one thing that I know Lisa was talking about. You know, Lisa Winning, she has a company called He Texted, and she said literally she would get her friends and, you know, family, and everybody would just log in so that when you're actually launching it, it doesn't feel like it's empty.
Right.
Versus there's, you know, stuff going on in the app. So, or in the, you know, on the platform.
Right.
So awesome.
You know, it's good because it already has users. The guy who started it built it up. So I feel like it's not like
a ghost
town. I mean, it's a few thousand, so that's not a lot in terms of, you know, big numbers, but it's, you know, we're going to re-engage, get the low hanging fruit, get those people
re-involved. Absolutely. And I'll put it in our show notes too.
Thank
so,
you.
So hopefully
awesome.
You'll get, yes. Cause I love the fact that, you know, and I never thought of this, which is, a great thing is to look at what my friends are using for my kids, you know, games, which is so true, because sometimes I'm just scrolling through that, you know, the store, and I'm like, oh my God, there's just so many. And then you try and then you don't, it doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, so this is a great way to find the ones that work.
Yes, I agree. By the way, I just want to tell you, how old are your kids really quick?
Mine are 6. They just turned 6 and 4.
Oh, okay. So I have 5 and 7. So you know what might be good for your 6-year-old? I'm just going to tell you this as I tell you.
Tell me, please.
Like, well, you could go to getappler.com/bestmomproducts, but I want to say like Stack the States, I think is such a great educational game that my kids love. And it's like, it teaches you about the United States. It's a little, they can make it a little bit more user-friendly for younger kids because obviously if they don't know the shape of a state, like it goes through shapes and capitals and, you know, and it's fun for them, but it's also challenging. So anyways, that's
nice. Awesome. Thank you. Sure. Thank you for that tip. I'm going to, and you know, it's summer, so they need something.
Right, totally.
So. Nice. Awesome. So before I wrap it up, I do want to ask you a quick question. If you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would just say that the road is going to be much longer and challenging, more challenging than you expect, but to be open to, you know, but to know that. And, you know, whatever you think is going to take a short amount of time might take twice that amount of time. Same goes with funding or money. And that it's a long journey and that there really are no quick wins. But sometimes you'll be so unexpected by someone that you will meet that will open a door. And like, I'm a true believer, I would say, I know I just gave a bunch of different things, but I would say like my one piece of advice would be like, when one door closes, another one opens. So don't like obsess over a door closing or why did that happen or you worked so hard and it didn't work out, because really there's something much better waiting for you. And I know that's sometimes hard to believe when you're going through the process. And it's sometimes, you know, hard for me to believe even, but it always seems to work out like that when you look back at it. So that would be my advice.
I love that. Thank you so much. Awesome. And are you ready for a lightning round?
I am.
Okay. So, Rachel, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
You know, I would say it would say something like a woman and mother who lived up to her full potential and helped those around her reach theirs too.
Oh, I love that. That's very realistic and very like grounded.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
You know, a weekend nap is always good.
Yes.
I also treated myself to the Pop Sugar Must Have subscription box. And
it is
like a monthly, I don't always get it monthly. I did it for a month for a year, but I got the summer box just recently. They have seasonal boxes. And so it kind of takes me back because, you know, with two young kids, I'm not as like hip and in style as I once was. And they curate like incredible items. And like, I just got it in the mail and I got this like amazing, you know, I just got so excited. My husband's like, I can't believe how excited you get over this thing. I'm like, they know me better than you, honey.
I know, right?
And like, I'll always tell, be like, oh, your Mother's Day gift to me was the seasonal pop sugar.
Yes. Neat.
You'll have to check it out. Really, it's fun.
Yeah, I will. But you know, I'll tell you something. You know, it's interesting that you brought it up because I'm really falling in love with these subscription, you know, things that come straight to the door.
Right.
I have one with, you know, one of these really neat, I think it's like a jewelry, you know, a website, and very high end, very nice. And, you know, I get it once a month. I'm like, oh my God, this is wonderful. Yes. I think it's called Jewel Mint.
Okay.
And yeah, you have to check it out. And it's, I feel terrible, but there's this, I think this actress or this celebrity who has also, you know, she designed some of the pieces or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I can't remember and I feel terrible, but I love it.
Oh my gosh, isn't it exciting? It's funny how that works. Like it's not something that I normally would have done and
right.
I did it and it's just like, it's just something exciting and it's like this beautiful box that comes and, you know, it's not something I would go out and buy any of those products, but I like love them all, you know?
Yes. I said this is totally, it's totally both of our guilty pleasures. So, yes. Awesome. And what are you currently reading?
You know, I currently have a bunch of books on my bedside, but I would say that I'm about to dive into The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. And I've just heard like amazing things about it, like organizing your home and you're getting rid of stuff.
Is it a how-to book?
You know, it's actually very subtle changes about how you live your life. And it's about saying, a friend of mine just said, you know, you say like, thank you to like a article of clothing in your closet that you haven't worn for 5 years. Thank you for serving your purpose or whatever it is. And then you just get rid of it. And it's kind of just decluttering your life and like being, and only keeping stuff like in your home, like even if it's furniture or things that are purposeful, that have meaning to you and that are useful. And if it's just an object of beauty, that's fine. That serves its purpose as being something you enjoy looking at. But so it's kind of, I don't know.
Interesting.
You know, it's summer. I'm totally in the like, get my home, like,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Organized.
And that's why I asked. I said, wait, if it's a how-to book, I need to get it right away.
You know, and then
interesting.
Secrets of the Millionaire's Mind by T. Harv Eker, which I never had read. And somebody said, like, I think you need to read that book. And I feel like it's pretty life-changing for me. So I'm excited about finishing it.
Awesome. And what is your one productivity hack?
You know, I wish I had something really great to tell you, but I mean, I'm just a huge to-do list junkie. So yeah. I just write out my huge to-do list like every Sunday night, and I just get through what, you know, one for family that hangs on the refrigerator and then one on my computer for work.
Nice. And what is your personal motto?
This is a tough one, but, you know, I would say, you know, don't obsess and measure yourself and your journey based on what everyone else is doing around you. And don't measure success by others' accomplishments or standards, and that, you know, your journey is your own. And if you're busy looking around, you won't be using your time wisely or effectively. It's just wasted energy. So I think for me, that's, I've always been in like media and marketing. And so part of what I do is always look around at what everyone else is doing and see how I fit in or how my client fits in. And so it's not just, you know, personal, it's work. And so it's very interesting. It's like on one end, I have to see like what's going on, what's trending and how things fit in. But then as you're doing that, you see what all these people around you are doing. And it's like, oh, they're doing that. I should be doing that, you know? And right. So trying not to get caught up in the next shiny new thing and focusing, you know, getting grounded on like, what's the vision? Am I solving a problem? Am I helping somebody? Is this ego or is this actually doing something worthwhile?
Love that. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
These are all such, it could be such profound questions.
Yes.
I got the list of questions. Like I was like,
right.
The business ones. I got to these. I'm like, wow, I can really think about this. You know, so I would say, you know, something that I've realized really in the last few years and I've started to let go of is not trying to do everything myself and asking for help. I've never been somebody who really asks for help. Because I know like I could do it all and I should be doing it all. And so as I've kind of given up on that and said like, I need help with the kids. I need help with my business. I'm going to hire a VA. I'm not going to ask for anyone's permission. I'm going to do the things that I know I need. So I've learned that, you know, I say no, even when my plate isn't always full, because if it doesn't align with like what my, you know, core goals or values are, I know it will take up space and not necessarily allow me to have another opportunity if it doesn't fit in. And so I think that, you know, I've learned to rely on other people, which has like opened up so many and not say yes to everything, which has just, you know, opened up more room for me to breathe and like think through things more.
Nice. And I know you mentioned you were friends with Kate, so she probably told you to read Essentialism.
I have not read that yet.
Okay, that's her favorite book.
I know. You know, it's so funny. I'm on a group with, yeah, Kate. And it was funny because The Magic of Tidying Up is what April Perry, who's from Power of Moms and Learn, Do, Become, recommended. And then like three people recommended it after her in 1 week. And I was like, wow. Oh my God, I have to get that book. But it's funny. I know, Kate, it's, you know, you're probably part of a lot of different groups too. It's like, I have like a book list of like 50 things that I want to read. And so it's like this summer, I just sent out actually my email newsletter saying I will not be sending email newsletters this summer. I'm like focusing on my family, client work, and I want to read. I want to like be thinking through, okay, I'll definitely have to get that one too.
Yes. Awesome, Rachel. That was so much fun. And before I let you go, what is the best way to reach you?
Sure. I can be reached at rachel@bestmomproducts.com or on Facebook or Twitter with @bestmomproducts. And on Instagram, I'm actually Rachel, A as in Adina, my middle name, Olsen, Olsen. And also getappler.com/bestmomproducts.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rachel. This was a lot of fun.
This was great. Thanks, Mita. It's like talking to an old friend.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
So that was Rachel Olsen. I hope you enjoyed this episode today. And you can link up with Rachel. All of the links and show notes are on the website, womanpreneursuccess.com/Rachel. Now, today's actionable tips time. Okay, number one, just like last time, I want you to write down your weekly goal and send it to me. I will personally hold you accountable for it. So email me at Smita, S-M-I-T-A, @womanpreneursuccess.com or text me at 38470 and this time text the word goal and I will be emailing you back and you will have to show me your progress. So So yes, I'm going to make sure that you do it. And the second tip for today, I want you to spend 15 to 20 minutes, think and write down one PR strategy that you would like to use in your business today. So just one PR strategy. Make a plan for it and implement it in this week. So one PR strategy, make a plan for it and implement it. So it could be things like reaching out to an influencer or writing a guest blog post or, you know, something that is giving you some kind of PR. So do that. One PR strategy. Again, text me at 38470 with the word goal, G-O-A-L, and I will keep you accountable. Exactly. All right. So every time I'll be giving you some actionable tips that you can use in your business right away, and that will help you out. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you know someone who would make a great fit on the show, email me at smita@womanpreneursuccess.com. And if you love our show, please share it with your friends. Also, don't forget to link up with me on Twitter. I am on @TheSmitaSingh. And on Instagram, I'm on Womanpreneur Success. Please don't come after me. I've been kind of lazy with Instagram lately. I don't know. I've been on Twitter a lot. So I'm going to try to get back to it. But find me, Womanpreneur Success. And on Twitter, it's @TheSmitaSingh. And of course, don't forget, today's giveaway, free giveaway, is the ultimate guide to repurposing your content. So if you want it, text me at the number 38470 and text the word BOLD, B-O-L-D. Now remember, now that you're an awesome listener of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success podcast, you cannot forget the number 38470. That's the number you dial to get a hold of me, to text me so that I can call you back or text you back or email you back or, you know, for whatever you want. So 38470 is the number, and text me for the giveaway today. It's BOLD, B-O-L-D, or for your goals, it's G-O-A-L, goal. All right, so that's it for today, and thank you all so much. Let me hang out in your earbuds. All right, bye.
You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womanpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.